This is an explicit podcast meant for those over the age of 18. Any views expressed in this podcast are based solely on our own experiences. This podcast does not constitute as medical or other professional advice. Welcome to Front Porch Swingers, where we talk about sex on our terms.
We talk swinging, hot wifing, BDSM, and so much more in the hopes that we will inspire you to enjoy sex on your terms.
Enjoy the show, everybody. Hey everyone, welcome to Front Porch Swingers. I'm Brenna.
I'm Brian.
So first things first, if you guys are looking for a sexy New Year's date, we highly recommend checking out Cassidy.com. It's a great way to meet locals in your area who are interested in the same sexy, naughty fun that you are. And it's our favorite place to meet people where we are and when we travel.
Yeah, for sure. You're getting ready to do some traveling soon and you will be hitting up Cassidy.
Hell yeah, I'm going to hopefully meet some very sexy folks when I travel. So if you want to do the same thing, you can head to our website, frontporchswingers.com, click on the Cassidy banner, and get 30 free days. Test it out. Make sure it's right for you. We're confident it will be.
Yeah, absolutely. Give it a shot.
Yeah. And hey, guys, if you haven't heard yet, I don't know where you've been because we've been talking about it for weeks now, but we're going to be in Deadwood, South Dakota, yeah. April 17th through the 19th for the first ever Underground Lifestyle Summit. This is not just a regular lifestyle event, people. This is a full on, totally interactive weekend full of sexy people, interesting educational events, excursions, and so much more.
Yeah, it's like a 3-day event. Hundreds of people will be there at this thing in an amazing location.
Yeah, it's going to be truly an experience. I'm so excited to have it. And if you want to have it with us, you can join us by heading over to energyundergroundnd.com and going to their summit page, or you can click on the Lifestyle Summit banner on our website at frontporchswingers.com. And if you use our promo code, which is FPS2020, FPS2020, you'll get 10% off of your booking.
Yeah, definitely jump on there, check it out. It's going to be a fucking awesome
time. I'm so excited. Me too. You have no idea.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
It's going to be amazing. It's not, like I said, it's not just a party. It's a real, like, it's a totally immersive experience.
Yeah, and it's like 3 days long in a very cool place with very exciting people from all over. People coming from everywhere.
Yeah, all over the country.
Yeah, it's going to be a good time.
Super excited.
Yeah.
I'm also very excited about our newest Patreon members on our Patreon community.
Yeah, that thing is growing and it is a lot of fun. We're getting a lot of interesting conversation going on in our private Patreon Telegram group.
For sure. Just one of many ways to communicate with us. Telegram, you can also get on our naughty Snapchat. I like to post pictures of my tits and ass, apparently. It's
yeah.
a thing.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm pretty proud of them. So if you want to see them for yourself, you can head to patreon.com/frontporchswingers and join the fun. We also post a weekly bonus episode of Front Porch Swingers where we talk about everything from our own sex lives, things going on in our private lives, everything you can imagine.
Yeah, so a bunch of stuff.
You get to hear all the behind-the-scenes fun of FPS. And on top of that, you get to support content that you enjoy. So if you're somebody that listens every single week and you're passionate about the work we do, please consider supporting us there. And we have two new Patreon members this week who have done that. That is Gerard and Peter. So thank you guys so much for joining the fun. And we can't wait to communicate with you.
Yeah, we're actually going to meet a couple of our patrons here pretty soon.
Yes, one couple is coming to where we live, which yeah. I'm very excited. We've been talking to them since even before Patreon.
For sure, yeah.
This is a couple we've been in correspondence with for what, like almost a year now, probably.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
So I'm very excited to meet them. They're very, very cool people. And the other couple is a couple we're going to meet in Vegas.
Yeah. Yeah. We're going to run into a couple of folks in Vegas, hopefully, and get a chance to meet some of our patrons face to face.
Yeah. Just a lot of, we're pretty starved for lifestyle stuff where we live. We've said that yeah. multiple times, but it really is true. Like where we are, we don't get to meet a lot of the people that listen to our podcast. We don't get to meet a lot of the people that are super involved in lifestyle stuff.
No.
So the opportunity to do so, I'm pumped for.
Yeah, anytime we get a chance to do that, it's really exciting for us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what else have we had going on?
Well, we got a bunch of stuff going on. We have a lot of traveling to do. You have a lot of traveling coming up.
I do. I'm going to Miami.
Yeah.
Which is kind of bittersweet. I'm very excited to go, just in that I want to go to Miami. I've never been before, and I love the idea of, you know, just new food and new culture. I think you're a little nervous for my travel.
I am, because you're not accustomed to, you know, places that size, that populated, that quickly moving. It's a different experience for you.
Yeah.
Yeah, you don't really, you know, you don't acclimate all that well to these places when you end up going, because you're going for work, obviously.
Yes.
And when you know, the last time you were in, you were in Phoenix, and then you had to go to, where was it?
Wisconsin.
Wisconsin, yeah. But just bigger places than you're accustomed to, particularly since you grew up here. And so, yeah, I'm always a little concerned when you go to these places, because you have, like, these big eyes, like, you want to see everything and experience everything. And then, of course, you get to some place like that, and you're like, oh, shit, this is way too overwhelming.
Right. Yeah, well, so that's what happened in Phoenix. I was so excited. I'm like, oh, I mean, I've been to Phoenix before, but I was like, I'm just going to do everything. I want to have all these experiences. It's going to be amazing. And then I got there, and even just walking around downtown, I was like, ooh, this is kind of,
it's overwhelming for you.
Yeah, it's just so different than what I'm used to. Where we live, it's like quiet, and there's no crime, and there's no garbage anywhere.
Yeah.
And so going to these bigger places, although it's exciting and cool, and they have a lot of cool shit going on, yeah, it's a little bit of a culture shock. So
yeah, so you're gonna feel it. I have tried to give you some information prior to your getting there, which I will continue to do, because I want you to be aware.
But, and safe, yeah.
And safe, yeah. But it's going to be interesting. Well, it'll be interesting for you, because you've never obviously spent any time in that part of the country, so.
I'm excited to have my feet in the ocean.
Well, you'll be able to do that.
It's been a very long time since that happened.
Yeah, you'll be in a hotel right on the beach. You can just walk right out the back door onto the beach. So that's good anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it'll be fun. You'll enjoy it, but
I can tell you're just very, like, leery of the whole thing.
Well, because, like, you want to see all these places. Obviously, we're going to be doing a lot of traveling in the end of 20, beginning of 21. And we're going to go, there's a lot of places we'll be visiting that you've never been, obviously.
Right.
Some of them are just amazing places all around the country. And, you know, when you tell me about the places you want to go,
Miami's always been on my bucket list.
Yeah, but there's a lot of places like that, and I've been to them, and it's like, I don't want you to be disappointed because you're so excited about it. You know, you have like a movie TV version in your mind of what these places are like, and then I just don't want you to be like, oh, fuck, this is really the big disappointment.
Yeah, I think the biggest difference between you and I, kind of the biggest contrast in the two of us in our relationship, is that obviously, I'm younger than you, and I've been in rural Montana my entire life.
Yeah.
And you have been everywhere and had all these great, amazing experiences. So I'm hungry for that, whereas you are like, been there, done that. So a lot of our relationship is me being like, oh my God, we have to go do this. We have to experience these things. I just need it. And you're like, it's not going to be as great as you think it's going to be.
Well,
so anyway, it's just an interesting part of our relationship. And it's something that you and I are really going to have to learn to compromise on, because it's, you know, I mean, it's a huge difference between the two of us.
Well, the good news is some of these places you'll be visiting, particularly for work, you will have seen them. So we won't have to do it again.
Oh, God.
Which is
unless
just
I fall in love with them.
Yeah, I don't think
And then we're going back.
It's not going to be a thing.
If I fall in love with Miami, we're going back.
Yeah, you're not going to.
You don't know.
Yeah, you're not going to. There are places, really, really cool places in Florida. I mean, I love Florida. So I spent a lot of time there. And so, you know, there's definitely places I want you to see that I think you're really going to appreciate. But I think the overwhelming factor of Miami is going to be a bit much for you.
We'll see.
Yeah, you'll find
out.
So
anyway, that's happening very soon.
Yeah, it's coming up in January.
And then after that, we'll be in Vegas for Erotica.
Yeah, very excited about that.
Yeah. I am not overwhelmed by Vegas.
No, but it's different. I mean, you've been there a number of times. You know what to expect. Of course, we're going together, so it's different.
Yeah.
You know, but we have so much going on in such a relatively short period of time.
3 days.
Yeah, I mean, we're just going to be super fucking busy and just, you know, constantly, like, focused on shit, so.
I'm so fucking excited for
Vegas. I'm going to be excited to get out of the cold, so that's going
to
be
awesome. I'm excited to get to Vegas, to wear slutty clothes, to have some cocktails, to meet people. I'm just excited for the whole thing.
No, it's going to be a good time.
The
Vegas
whole
is
experience.
Always fun. This time, of course, again, we're going to the AVN show, so we'll have, you know, we know what to expect, more of what to expect, considering what we're going to see and what we saw last year, and how to benefit from it, I think, for us personally.
Yeah.
You know, be a lot more, I don't know, we'll have a lot better picture of what we're getting into.
Yeah, I'm more fun. That's all I give a shit
it
about.
It will be.
Honestly.
I think it will be more fun. We had a great time last year. You lost your voice. You couldn't talk for like a week. So, yeah, it probably will happen again.
I hope hope so.
Yeah, if you want less sleep than we had last time, chances are you're going to lose.
I already
it.
Told you, expect yeah. 3 hours a night. Get yeah. geared up. You better start resting up now because yeah. I'm going to have you running around that city.
We'll see. We'll see how you're feeling after a couple of days of all the shit we have to do.
I do not care. That's the thing about Vegas is like, it doesn't even matter if you're sleep deprived because the city itself electrifies you.
Yeah.
It just gets you on the right track to be like excited and energized no matter what.
Yeah. We didn't have any problem like doing stuff when we were there. We were just running around going crazy.
Yeah. And then we got home and it was like,
oh, it was over.
we were fucking died.
Yeah. We were the walking dead by the time we got home. And it wasn't even like an alcohol related thing. We didn't drink all that much. It was like after like the first 2 days, you're like, fuck this. I am done.
No more alcohol. Can't do it water, anymore. Please.
Yeah, too much going on.
But we were still running constantly.
We're getting like 4 hours sleep. Yeah, I mean, it was you were being naughty right until the time we were got on the plane. So literally. So yeah, it was a good time. But yeah, it'll take it out of you for sure. And by the time you get on the plane to come home, and that's when you start to feel it.
Can you do preventative measures like I don't know, electrolytes or something to get ready?
Just super hydrate and, you know, we just do our normal thing throughout
sleep
the course
10
of the
hours
week
a night
up.
Before.
Yeah, a little extra sleep, you know, a little bit more exercise than we even normally get, yeah. You know, eating cleaner than we normally do even, you know, taking it nice and easy.
Okay.
You know, leading up to it. And then it's fucking full on madness by the time we get there. We're going to meet a bunch of people we haven't met yet that we've been corresponding with forever. In Vegas this time around.
Yeah.
You know, so it's going to be a good time.
I'm excited.
Yeah, we got to fit it all in.
Okay, so let's get to single guy tip of the week.
Oh, yeah. So like we talked about last week, there were so many fucking opportunities for that because of the correspondence, particularly that you had really like in the last 2 weeks.
Right.
Of crazy douchiness.
Such douchiness. Yeah. The level of douchiness was off the charts this last week.
So let's talk about. So the single guy tip of the week this week is for me, it's no is an answer.
Right.
Okay? No is actually an answer. People say, oh, don't take no for an answer. No, listen to me. No is a fucking answer.
Especially in this lifestyle.
Yeah, well, especially when someone is declining your company.
Right.
Let's put it that way. Okay? So why don't you tell a story about what happened with the gentleman who was super fucking tenacious and just wouldn't give it up.
Yeah. So first of all, I thought it was very strange. He reached out on our Sex on Your Terms Instagram page. Okay.
Right.
Not Front Porch Swingers, Sex on Your Terms, which is definitely a little bit more of a professional page. We don't post my tits on there or anything like that. It really is our coaching platform. He reached out on there and said, hey, where are you guys located? And I said, Montana. And he was like, oh, me too. Okay. Found out through additional correspondence that he lived about 2 or 3 hours from us. Okay?
Right. Not unusual for us because fucking state is so spread out.
Yeah. And he said, well, I would love to meet you guys. I have a girlfriend, but she's not really interested in playing, which is another red flag. We'll leave that to the side for now.
Yeah. That's a whole nother single guy tip.
But he said, I would absolutely come meet you guys. I'll drive to you. I would love to meet you. I think that you are so sexy and I just love what you guys stand for. It'd be so cool to meet you. And I responded back very respectfully and said, I appreciate that. Not necessarily interested in meeting anyone from out of town right now. And I don't have the time to dedicate to somebody else because I have regular play partners and basically my dance card is full.
Right.
And he responded with, oh, that's a bummer. And then like an hour later responded with, well, you know, I'm just going to throw this out there. If you guys want me to come and drive and watch you guys have sex, I don't have to touch you at all. But you know, if you and your partner want to have sex in front of me, I would love that.
Right. So we've gone from you want him wanting to meet because he appreciates what we do and he's super attracted to you to super willing to drive 2 or 3 fucking hours just to watch us have sex. Listen, man, no is a fucking thing. It's right. A real thing. So when somebody politely declines, which you did, your response really should be, hey, I really appreciate you getting back to me, maybe another time.
Right.
And then we're done, right? We're done here because at least if there's any chance of you ever getting your foot in the door, we know that you backed out, you know, with grace. You weren't a total douche. Instead, you double down and it's, hey, maybe I can just drive out to watch you have sex. Man, come on.
Which is also super creepy to me.
Well, yeah, the whole fucking thing is creepy, but it's a level of douche that you almost, it's like, it's hard to even wrap your head around, you know, like you were told that you weren't interested, you know, you weren't interested, but really appreciate them reaching out. That's not enough, right? You got to take it like to the next step. So listen, guys, No is an answer. When you get a no, don't feel like you've got to try to push it a little bit further, thinking, oh, well, if I really kind of stay after it, I'm going to get a yes.
I can talk my way into a yes.
Yeah, no, you're not going to talk your way into a yes. What you're going to talk your way into is getting fucking blocked.
Yes, and which is what happened.
Exactly. That never happened. So, I mean, it's douchey on a whole nother level. The whole thing is like, you have to accept, you have to know, being a single guy, particularly getting into this space, you're going to experience some rejection. And hopefully it's as pleasant a rejection as he got from you. But
right.
But you're bound to get it. So you have to prepare for it.
I didn't tell him to go fuck himself. I didn't say, you know, go jump in a hole,
right.
Loser. Nothing like that. I very respectfully declined, explained why,
yeah.
Which I also didn't really owe him, but I still provided that to him.
Oh.
And he came back with yet another proposal for us. And like, to me, what it says is you don't understand a no. Like, to you, a no is, okay, I'm going to find another loophole. I'm going to find another way to make this work. And to me, what that looks like is you don't understand what I'm trying to say to you.
Right. Well, you understand, you don't really care.
Yeah,
you're not interested
yep.
in what it is that I want or how you feel about a situation, what you're willing or not willing to do, and you know what you're interested in. That doesn't even matter. It doesn't factor in. It's what he wants.
Right.
That's that douchebag level of like, it's like to the 10th degree. It's not like middle-aged rave club DJ douchey, but it's really fucking douchey. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But that's like the most ridiculous thing. You've been told no in a really nice way.
Yeah.
I just think you should accept it and bow out gracefully.
I agree.
Just back out the door. Shut the door behind you. Nice and easy. Nobody's going to get hurt. You know, all done here. You know,
yes.
You live to fight another day.
Plus, I'm just going to throw this out there. Just because we're in the lifestyle doesn't mean I want other people to watch. Like, nobody has really ever watched you and I fuck.
Unless there's a couple. And we're having sex with a couple.
But that's still, we've never just had sex next to a couple. It's never been like, you and I are having sex next to a couple and then nothing else happens.
Right. It's always like a byproduct of us having a good time with someone else or another couple.
Yeah. And I'm not really into that. To me, like, your and my intimacy is for you and me. It's
right.
Not to share with other people. I'm not going to say we're not exhibitionists, because I kind of do love like showing off and putting my tits up and shit like that. But your and my time is our time. I don't necessarily want to share that with other people.
Right.
So just assuming that we're into that because you're into that is disrespectful.
Well, also when we're with other people, particularly a couple, right? For example, now we were with our single gal friend a couple weeks back, and that was a different situation because it was the three of us. So there was obviously a lot of the three of us interacting,
right?
You know, but there was a point where you kind of stopped, sat back and watched us because you had not seen that before.
Right.
It was a unique experience. But if we're with a couple, for example, that's not like we stop what we're doing and you and I like start having sex or get together because we
on a show for other people.
Yeah, we have sex together all the time. That's what we do. We're there to enjoy the company of other people.
Right.
So it's not like that's part of the whole role for us. You know,
yeah.
We're not trying to do that.
I just thought it was a weird proposal.
It's super
all
weird.
Around.
Especially after it was like, hey, I'm not interested.
Yeah.
You know, so single guy tip of the week, no is an answer. Accept it. Expect it occasionally. It's going to happen. And you just got to kind of deal with it and keep rolling.
Yeah.
You know?
I agree.
Yeah, it's too much.
So we should move on
yeah.
to our sexy little story this week.
Yeah, so this is interesting. So this was really kind of the first play session you had last week.
So last week on the podcast, we talked about my interaction with Clint, and
yes.
It was very rough,
yeah, it was.
Intense interaction, which you can go back and listen to if you haven't already. But we kind of teased this week's episode on last week's episode.
Yeah.
And this week's episode is about my interaction with Aiden. And we talked last week about how it was, in a lot of ways, kind of the polar opposite of
very
my
much.
Interaction with Clint.
Yeah, very much.
This is a very kind of sensual, sexy, feeling out time, and it was much needed, I think, between myself and Aiden to
yeah.
really get us on the same page and get us to a point of a little bit more comfort with each other in terms of our play.
For sure. And again, like we said, and we'll you're going to talk about it, obviously, but the sex between yourself and Aiden and the sex that you have with Clint is very different. Obviously, last week was a real rough session. In fact, so rough that for the past week since, you and I have not really played as hard as we normally would, really just to give you a break.
Yeah, and not even so much a physical break. I think it's been more of a mental break for me. So what happened last week, we talked about with Clint, was very sexy, and I wouldn't take any of it back. I think all of it was positive, given kind of the learning lessons that came from it.
Yeah, we learned, you know, you learned some limits for yourself.
For sure. But yeah. I do think that there was part of me that was like, okay, I've kind of experienced the far extreme of what I want to experience. And so this week, your and my sex has been a lot more, I don't know if intimate's the right word, because we're always intimate with each other, but maybe a little bit more sensual. Maybe that's the right word.
Well, for sure. And there was the one point where you were like, you know, I think we should be soft. I just want really kind of soft, loving sex tonight.
Well, you did make love to me this week. Yeah. So that really was like, never happened.
Well, because it was by request. So you were really kind of needing that kind of recovery, I think.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
So
it was a lot of baths this week, a lot of like you massaging my back in the bath, which led to some really kind of sexy time between the two of us. But yeah, I mean, just kind of as a prelude to what happened, like, or an interlude, what comes after? Is it interlude?
Interlude, yeah, for sure.
Whatever comes afterwards, that's what we've been experiencing this week after everything with Clint.
So. Yeah, it was a little, it was a rough, it was, listen, it was a very sexually charged weekend in general, and you had some really really hard impact between Clint and myself. And then, of course, your play session with Aiden, which, while we'll talk about it, while it wasn't rough necessarily, there were still some elements of it that certainly lend itself to being a little bit more, you know, rough than others.
I'm not even sure rough is the right word. I think, and we'll talk about this as we get into the interaction that we're going to talk about this week, but I think the interaction with Aiden was maybe more mentally taxing, if that makes sense, because this is still a fairly new play partner. This is still someone I'm really feeling out, I'm learning about, I'm understanding how he fits into your and my dynamic, how he and I kind of fit together. So while that's really fun and it's a new adventure to take, it's also, there's a lot of mentality that goes into it. It's a lot of like mental strength that it takes to be with a brand new play partner, which I think any, you know, any hot wife or anyone in the swinging world can relate to.
For sure.
It's a lot more mentally taxing.
No doubt. Well, let's talk about it. So you, it was actually Monday that you had the opportunity to play with Clint. That was that kind of really, really rough play session. Sunday is when you actually played with Aiden.
Sunday evening.
Sunday evening. So you had that kind of time with him first.
Right.
So let's talk a little bit about that.
So I went to Aiden's house and I told him ahead of time I'd really like to take some time to talk before we had sex. And we ended up talking for like almost 2 hours, an hour and a half.
It you were gone for like 3.5 hours.
Yeah. So we just took some time to like get to know each other, understand each other on a non-sexual level. I truly believe that the things that happen to you and the things that make you a person outside of the bedroom translate inside the bedroom.
Right.
And so I really wanted to get to know him, and we took that time to do so, and I loved that. It was great. And it also lended a lot more comfortability by the time clothes came off. You know, it was a much more comfortable dynamic between the two of us. So anyway, we sat, we drank some wine, we had a great conversation. I eventually asked if I could go change in his restroom. So he has this big, beautiful, like, bedroom with an ensuite. And so I went into the ensuite and changed into my little red satin number that I love. It looks like a little, it's like a, it almost looks like a little apron.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah, because it's got a little bit of that, like, kind of black fringe around the bottom. Is that right?
It's all red.
Oh, it's the other one.
Yeah, it's completely red, but it ties around the waist. The red with the black is like a
baby doll thing.
So my whole back is open, aside from it being tied around the waist.
Right.
So it looks like a weird, sexy little apron. I love it. But anyway, I came out of there, called him into the bedroom. He came in. We started making out. He remarked on how much he liked my outfit, which I always love when I hear that. And so I immediately started sucking his cock. And I liked that he made a comment.
Because he's on the bed. He's standing up.
Standing. He made a comment about the fact that we talked about in the last two episodes where we talked about Aiden, that he keeps his clothes on for forever. So he made a comment about, I guess I should take my clothes off because, you know, Brian and you both made comments about me keeping my clothes on for too long. I'm like, yeah, take them off.
Yeah. What are you waiting for?
Let's get going. Chop, chop. So he takes his pants off, takes his boxer briefs off. I start sucking his cock. And I really like sucking his cock because he's an enthusiastic receiver.
Nice.
You know how like some people are enthusiastic givers and that's really great too. But like if you just stand there and you don't make any noise or you don't
it lets
like,
you know what works.
Give me any verbal cues about how things are going. I'm just like, nah, I get bored.
Right. Well, you don't know what direction to go.
Well, and I need, like, I'm somebody who feeds off of that positive reinforcement.
Right.
If you give me, like, the ooh, yeah, or right there, that totally makes me pick up the pace. It makes me feel more motivated. I know sounds super weird, but...
But also a level of confidence, because now you know that what you're doing is working.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, for sure. It makes it so much more sexy when I know I'm doing a good job.
Yeah, for sure.
So I really like that he's very verbal with me. And then I stopped sucking his cock, and one of the things that he said to me was, I want you to be as verbal with me tonight as possible, which I really liked. I think once again, this is kind of the theme of this interaction with him. It was a lot of feeling out. It was a lot of us learning more about each other and really digging into like what makes the other person tick. And him saying that to me made it seem like he really gave a shit. You know what I mean? Like, well, he really wanted to make it a good interaction.
So had you not had that conversation with him prior or leading up to this play session where you guys were talking and kind of going over what does work, what doesn't work, what you'd like to see, what you don't want to see?
We don't really do that via text.
No. I mean, when you guys were chatting and you know, when you got there.
No, it was not a sexual conversation. We were talking about the things that interested him personally, the things he enjoys doing from a hobby perspective, his family, like that.
Just vanilla shit.
It was completely separate from the sex.
Right.
Which I actually prefer because I don't like to sit down with anyone aside from you and have a conversation about very sexual details. I know that sounds really weird, but to me, that's like a very personal thing that I reserve for you.
Right. So more of like in the moment kind of thing.
Yeah. And he encouraged that. He wanted me to tell him that, which I really liked. And it to me, it showed a lot of like sexual maturity.
Yeah. For sure.
So he went down on me for a little bit and I tried to be really verbal with him. I had my hands all in his hair.
Which is never really a problem for you.
No, it's not at all. Yeah. So I was very verbal, like, oh yes, right there. That's perfect.
Yeah,
suck a little bit harder.
Yeah, I mean, you're pretty clear as to what you like.
Yeah. So, and I don't think he was telling me that I hadn't been as verbal as I needed to in the past. I think he was just kind of pushing that along. You know what I mean?
Well, so was it like he wanted it because he wanted to make sure that he was, you know, providing you with the pleasure that you were looking for? Or was it that he wanted to hear it also because he just wanted to hear you say it? He liked hearing you talk about it. What was it you wanted?
I think he gets turned on by the verbal communication. That would be just my assumption. He hasn't said that to me, but from what he... Like, when I say something to him, for example, if I say, fuck me harder, right, or lick me harder right there, his intensity picks up, he gets more excited, more animated, right. So I think he gets turned on by
that. So once again, he's kind of driven by that positive reinforcement, so he knows that what he's doing is working, so it just gives him that much more confidence and enthusiasm.
Yeah, which is really interesting, because we've talked about this before, but he identifies himself as a switch.
Right.
And I think he has a little bit of that like submissive, subservient energy to him.
Yes, he wants to know what you want.
Where he wants to be pleasing. He wants to be in that role of like giving me as much pleasure as possible.
Right.
And I really like that because there are people that I've been with that definitely don't do that. And it's not nearly as positive of an experience as it could be.
Well, we've talked about that. You've been with other guys who are, you've played with, you know, as we've been going through this whole journey that were, you know, more dominant. Obviously much less submissive. And when you got to the point where you were giving a little bit of direction or saying, oh yeah, I like this or I don't like that, it's almost like they get put off because it's like you're trying to tell them what's working for you.
Right.
As if they were like, they should know exactly what they're doing and I got this.
Which I'm just going to throw this out there. If any of you are currently in the world of BDSM and you're looking to be more of that submissive role and you're playing with a dominant who doesn't care about your feedback or doesn't want you to provide that to them, that's fucking bullshit. Run as far and fast as you possibly can. I think of Clint, who is a very dominant man,
right,
and he is very open to my suggestions, my wants, my needs, all of that. More so, he always puts my needs first.
Well, that's the whole thing. That's what people, I think, a lot of times who aren't in that BDSM space get where the confusion lies. People think that the dom is in control. Not so much.
Yeah, maybe in the moment.
In that time, in the moment of play. But the truth of the matter is, it's the sub who's calling the shots.
Right.
The dom is really playing off of the sub's ability or inabilities based on what they are capable of.
Well, negotiated wants and desires before and after.
Yeah, we know someone who just had an experience that wasn't great. because the Dom simply wasn't paying a lot of attention. A female Dom.
Yes.
Wasn't paying a lot of attention to what her needs were, what her sub's needs were. And it got kind of weird. It got bad for her.
Yes. Yeah. Very negative experience.
Terrible experience. Yeah. So it's real important. I mean, that the idea that he really benefits from that positive reinforcement, wants to hear that from you, tells you that he's genuinely interested in making sure that you're pleasured and that he really likes that. So it just kind of gets his juices flowing.
Yes.
Yeah. That's very cool.
I agree. So I will also say I wore a little pink plug.
Yes.
Over to Aiden's house. Not one of my giant ones that we usually talk about. I went with something a little bit more small and discreet this time. But obviously, the last time I went to Aiden's house, we talked about this on a previous podcast episode, but he asked if he could fuck my ass.
Well, he asked you to wear a plug.
So, yes.
Right.
He asked me to wear a plug. Then during play, he asked if he could fuck me in the ass. Right. And I was like, I'm just not sure I'm ready for that yet.
Right.
And then we talked about on the podcast. I assume he listens to the podcast. I'm fairly certain he does.
Right.
Where we talked about the fact that, like, I have to be 100% comfortable with someone and feel totally at ease with them to really allow myself to go there.
Right.
And so I think he was a little leery still of the whole, you're wearing a plug, but that doesn't necessarily mean I'm going to fuck your ass. Like,
right.
So I communicated to him while we were kind of, mid play that I wanted him to fuck my ass that night.
Right.
And the reason I did that was there were multiple reasons. One was because we had had that time to really sit and I felt more connected to him, almost like on a friendship level.
Right.
Which I know that sounds really weird. Like, I felt more friendly towards him and therefore I wanted him to fuck my ass. But to me, it was like a trust building thing.
Right.
You know what I mean? We were able to sit there and be vulnerable with each other and just like be honest about things that had nothing to do with sex. And somehow that translated to like more comfort with him.
Sure.
And that meant that I felt better about him fucking my ass. Does that sound so weird?
No, but the other thing is, it's like, I think the interesting thing is that you wore the plug the first time because he asked you to.
Right.
And you didn't actually let him fuck your ass.
Right.
The second time, he didn't ask you to. You just wore it.
Yes.
And he did not take it upon himself to assume, of course, based on your first interaction, that there was going to be anal play. Which is great because he actually got the idea that, just because it seems available doesn't mean that it's on the menu.
Right. Yeah. You know? I think that was part of it, too, is that I felt like he was really letting me take the lead on that.
Right.
He was totally respecting my decision making in that process and wanted me to be at the point that I was enthusiastically giving my ass to him,
right.
Not, humming and hawing about it and going back and forth. He wanted me to be sure that I was ready for it.
Yeah. And for you single guys that are listening, this is like golden tips for you.
Yes.
Let that gal give you the instruction. Let her dictate. Let her drive the traffic.
Yeah. Let her give the anal green light or whatever green light.
Whatever the green light is. And the idea that he didn't just instinctively think, tonight's the night because she's wearing a plug.
Right.
That's a lot of points. A guy gets points for that, for paying attention and for caring and for, it's appreciated. That kind of behavior is appreciated.
Yes. I also like the fact that he didn't ask this second time. He totally let me bring it up. I was the one dictating all of it, which was cool. So, but I did ask him like, do you maybe want to fuck my ass tonight? And he was like, yeah, I mean, if you're ready for that.
Right.
And I said I was. So at one point I bent over and he was kind of playing with my ass. Like he was lubing it up and kind of lubing himself
up. So you took the plug out or did he take it out?
He took it out. So I was bent over the bed. I told him to take it out. He took it out of my ass.
Right.
But he didn't just go straight to fucking. He really lubed me up and was like playing with my ass and kind of fingering me a little bit. At one point, I think he kind of licked me a little bit, which was really nice.
Yeah.
Naughty and nice. And he's pumping his cock while he's doing it, which I can kind of like turn my head and see that he's pumping his cock, which also turns me on like crazy.
Yeah.
I don't know why I love a guy playing with his cock as much as I do, but
I don't see why not.
I love it.
Yeah.
I just think it's so sexy. So anyway, he took a long time to kind of build me up.
Right.
And by the time he went to go stick his cock in my ass, I was like, okay, I am ready for this.
Yeah, so whether he knows it or not, well, he will now when he hears this. That's like, it's like priming the pump for you because you're ready to go.
Oh, the more you play with me.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Your engine's running.
It's
frenzy.
It's like, oh my God, give me cock.
Yeah, by the time if you wait long enough, it's like, the cork just pops.
Yeah, it totally was. So he started fucking my ass and it was really slow. He was was really taking his time and really feeling things out. And he asked multiple times, how does that feel? How's everything going? Which I liked. And he did it in a way that was like sexy. Like his voice got kind of like husky and like, oh, does that feel good?
Well, he's testing the water, wants to make sure everything's going right, but doesn't want to fuck up the mood.
He's continuing to ask for consent, but he's doing it in like a really sexy, seductive way,
right.
Which I love.
Yeah, it's consent disguised as seduction. Nicely done.
Yeah, very smooth. I was super impressed with the whole thing.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, of course, I'm saying, oh, that feels so good. And like, I'm kind of playing with my clit while he's fucking my ass. So I'm on all fours, but I have my ass like up in the air. So I'm kind of like down on my elbows and I can kind of reach around and like play with my clit a little bit while he's fucking me, which feels amazing. Yes.
So is he like grabbing onto your ass? Is he slapping your ass? What's happening?
Well, so he starts really slow and really methodical. And then he starts picking up the pace and he's going faster and harder. And of course, I'm saying like, yes, that's perfect. Keep going. So he's continuing to pick up the pace and intensity. And by the end of it, he is burying himself into my ass and spanking me and like, yeah, how does that feel? Do you like that? I'm like, yes, so, keep going.
So he's wanting you to continue that like positive reinforcement, telling him what it is that you want. And he wants you to be more vocal. Obviously.
Yes, I loved it. It was so sexy. So yeah, he's by the end of it, he is full on. One hand is like grabbing onto my ass, kind of using it as leverage to pump into me, and the other hand is slapping my ass. And then at one point he grabs, I think my hair was in a bun. It was in a bun, and he grabbed my bun, similar to how you do when you're fucking me from behind, and he grabs that and is kind of pulling onto it, and he's like, how does that feel? And I'm like, yes, that's fucking perfect.
Right.
So he's got that, he's pulling my head back. I'm my head's almost to the point that I can like look over my shoulder and still see him.
Yeah.
And at one point I cocked my head just a little bit and saw the look on his face. It was pure bliss, which I loved. When I know someone is super into it, when I know that somebody is really receiving a lot of pleasure, that fucking drive, that is my sexual kryptonite right there.
Well, that's the whole idea is obviously to have this mutually beneficial, you know, exchange. So if he's not enjoying himself, how could you enjoy yourself?
Yeah, totally.
You know, fully, you know?
Yeah, so receiving that, once again, positive reinforcement, but this time in the form of his amazing look on his face.
Right.
I'm just so into it.
Sure.
And it was fantastic. So he stopped fucking my ass and took off his condom. I sucked his cock a little bit. Again, he kind of cleaned himself up. I sucked his cock again for a little bit. And then he wanted to fuck me again. So he put on another condom, got on top of me, and was fucking me. And one of the things I have really come to like about Aiden is the facial expressions he's giving me when he's fucking my pussy, too.
Right.
It's different than my ass. The ass thing felt a little bit kind of primal.
Sure. And, well, yeah, absolutely.
You know, just a little bit. It was kind of like he lost himself in it for a second.
Yeah, it's like a taboo thing. So, of course, you go to a different place in your head.
Yeah, but when he's fucking my pussy, he has this look on his face of like he really wants to give it to me and he really wants it to feel good for me.
Right.
And so he has almost like this expectant look on his face, like I'm going to come at any second.
Right.
Which, of course, I totally
probably will.
Do.
Yeah.
I was coming over and over again. It was so sexy. And so then he stopped and I sucked his cock for a little bit longer. And this is also something I really liked. So this interaction took place over the course of, so we sat and talked for about an hour and a half and then we played for about an hour and a half. So it was a long session, but he didn't come. Even though I was, by the end of it, I was sucking his cock and playing with his balls, and I really wanted him to come because I wanted him to have that release. And I think one of the things that I maybe need to get out of my own head in terms of play is, oh, when the man comes, that's the end of play.
Right.
You know what I mean? And I think that there's so many people that think that because, like, when a man comes, typically he can't get hard right away again or whatever. So, like, that's how you mark the end of play.
Yeah, like, that's, yeah, exactly. Like, that's the end of the fucking session just because of that.
Yeah. Like, okay, the man came, so, like, we're done here, you know? And so I sometimes work to that. I mean, you and I play that way all the time, and it works really well with you and I.
Right.
Like, a lot of times, typically, you'll, you know, fuck my mouth. And I make you come with my mouth. You come in my mouth, I swallow it, and that's the end of our play. And that's kind of how it works really well for us. It's perfect time-wise. It's really sexy. It's a really fun way to end our play. But because you and I are kind of on that schedule, I expect that that's how every guy is going to be with me when he plays with me.
Right.
And, like, that's not how it always has to work.
No.
And so I'm sucking his cock and I'm really going to town on it. And I'm like, are you getting close? And he's like, I'm not sure. And then I get kind of weird. And I'm like, time wise, okay, it's, you know, Brian's going to be going to bed here pretty soon. And I don't want to be gone from him for too long. So I'm like, yeah, you know, I probably need to leave pretty soon. And he's like, okay. And I was like, I really want to make you come. And he's like, it's okay. That, you know, that doesn't have to be the goal. And I was like, oh, that's actually really cool.
Yeah, that's an interesting kind of perspective, I guess.
Yeah, I think it was cool that he just wanted to, I think he just wanted to enjoy me sexually. And I think, once again, that sexual maturity that he has to know that, like, he can jerk off after I leave for however long he wants.
Right.
It doesn't have to be like, okay, you come and I finish you off and then I leave.
Right.
And I really like that about him. I think it's very telling of who he is as a person and as a sexual partner, too.
No, it's an interesting perspective for sure. That's not something that you've come in contact or come across before.
Not really.
So it's unique. So let's talk about this. So that's pretty much how it ended, right, for the most part.
Yeah.
So you're actually going to see him tonight.
Yes.
So you have an event to go to, and then you're going to kind of spend some time with him later on. What are you anticipating, like, taking place? What do you think that's going to be like based on the last time you guys were together?
I don't know. I have no idea. I think.
Have you talked at all about anything?
No, we haven't talked logistically about how we're going to play or anything for tonight. I foresee tonight being probably a shorter play session. Just because I have this event and then I'm going to go see him afterwards. I have kind of a previous engagement, and just time-wise, I'm not going to have a ton of time to spend with him. So I foresee it being, we're probably not going to break out the fucking flogger and the crop and the...
Well, you'll probably have as much time to play as you did the last time, but it's the other hour and a half that you...
Right. Yeah. There's no lead up to it. It's like, we're just probably going to get naked and fuck. So.
Yeah.
Which is totally fine. I'm not complaining about that at all. But yeah, I don't think it's going to be a whirlwind play session. That would be my guess. And I'm okay with that. I like the idea of variety of play with him.
Sure.
I think that he's at a point right now, we talked about this the first time I played with him, but he's at a point of sexual exploration.
Right.
And because of that, he's open to a lot of different scenarios. And so every time I play with him could be something different. And that's really exciting and fun.
Do you expect at any point, based on any of the conversations that you've had, and given his kind of personality and his ability, as you alluded to kind of be a switch, so to kind of be that dominant or submissive, play the dominant or submissive role, do you anticipate at any point where he's basically going to come to you and be like, hey, I would really like you to top me?
Well, we've kind of touched on that. So one of the things that he has potentially been interested in is some pegging.
Right.
Which I have done in the past, and I think it's kind of sexy. So something like that could be definitely on the table. I think also he's kind of getting more involved in our BDSM community locally.
Yeah, certainly. It seems
which
to be,
could be interesting in terms of him really exploring more of that bottom role, whatever he's open to. I mean, obviously, I have experience in cock and ball torture and bondage. I have a little bit of rope experience, definitely some topping for impact play. So I'm open to a lot of different scenarios. It's just going to be more so what he's wanting to explore.
Yeah, I kind of get the impression that that's, to some degree, the direction I think that he's going to want to go at some point. I think he likes the idea of being able to play either role, but I certainly think that probably within a short period of time, he's going to want to tap into your ability to maybe top him to some degree.
Yeah.
I could see that.
I like that because I obviously do not have that ability with you or Clint to really explore that. And I haven't been able to. The last person that I was really able to do that with was Derek.
Yeah, it was a while
back. And that was over a year ago.
Yeah, it was a while back. And you enjoyed that. I liked it because of how, and I think we talked about this on one of the episodes or a couple of the episodes. I liked it because when you went to play with Derek, especially when you were kind of in that dominant role with him, he really enjoyed being the submissive.
Right.
And because of that power exchange, when you came home, our energy was very different because you had been the dominant and it basically took everything out of you. So with me, you were even more submissive than you normally would have been.
Yeah.
So you were really just kind of, you had exhausted all of that sexual energy from being in that dominant role. And it was really a different kind of, it was an energy transference between you. It was like your energy and his is kind of what I was feeding off of once you got home.
So I relinquished all of it to you.
Yeah, it was really kind of interesting. So I'm curious to see if that's the direction that Aiden wants to go into. I'd be very surprised if he didn't.
Yeah. I mean, I'm open to it for sure. So I guess I need to talk to him a little bit more about that and and see where his interests are. But yeah, I mean, the sky's the limit. It's really exciting. And like I said, this was a very kind of sensual feeling out session. And I like that. It was not only kind of breaking the farmer's market barrier, so to speak. Right.
First trip to the farmer's market.
But it was also just, it felt a lot of, it felt like a trust building exercise, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, no, absolutely. There, you know, even this is what, not third or fourth time tonight that you'll be playing with him?
Tonight will be the fourth, yeah.
There's a, you know, there's certainly a level of trust that's being built every time you guys are together, which I find interesting. I also really enjoy the fact that he is, to some degree, interactive with me.
Yeah.
Which, where it makes me comfortable. You know, right. I just get that kind of level of comfort. So I just find it interesting. So he's got an interesting personality. So I could definitely see where he would, you know, lean a little bit towards you kind of being the dominant, you know, in a dominant position at some point.
Hey, I'll put clothespins on your testicles and
yeah, I totally see that. I don't know. Derek loved it apparently. It was a hot thing for him for sure. It turns remember that me picture on. You sent me that one time. Yeah, he really
with
enjoyed
the clothespins all over his nuts. Yeah.
Yeah.
His
yeah,
balls.
Yeah, yeah.
It was very hot.
Yeah, he dug it. So yeah, I mean that could easily be Aiden's thing. Who knows?
I loved it.
You'll find out soon enough, I'm sure.
Yeah, so that is the story, the third installment of the Aiden saga.
Yeah, no doubt.
Hopefully lots more to come. I'm really excited about Aiden in general. So I think it adds a lot to our play, your and my play.
Yeah.
And it's just exciting. So
yeah, and we've been, our single gal friend has been in touch with us. She's trying to get some time to play with us again soon.
Yeah, she wants you to dominate her.
She does.
She wants you to tie her up and flog her ass. And
yeah, she has mentioned on several occasions as we have texted that she wants me to top her. She's very interested in that. So I'm looking forward to that. She's a lot of fun.
Oh, I would love for that to happen.
We'll get to that point.
I would love for either me to watch you guys do that together or for you and her to do that separately. And then for me to see how your energy differs after you have dominated another woman. That would be quite the experiment.
It would be interesting. And she was, I think, certainly be the person to attempt to do that with. I'm sure she'd be open to that. So just a conversation we have to have with her.
So more fun to come.
Yeah.
Make sure you're listening every single week. By the way, guys, if you haven't checked out our coaching services over at Sex on Your Terms yet, you should. It's a great resource. It's really become a true passion for us, talking to people about how to find their version of sexual liberation, whether it's hot wifing, swinging, age gap relationships, or something else entirely. So make sure you check out our services over at sexonyourterms.com. You can also find us on social media at Twitter, on Twitter, and Instagram at FP Swingers. We have a YouTube channel that you can totally check out some sexy, fun videos. Not super sexy. YouTube's a little bit strict on what we can put on there.
Yeah, no doubt.
So no nudity or anything, but I think we provide some helpful information. Our channel is called Front Porch Swingers. So make sure you head on over there to see those.
Yeah, check
and
it out.
I think that's what we have for you guys this week.
I think so.
So thank you guys, as always, so much for listening.
Thanks, everybody.
If you're anything like us when we first started swinging, we really had no idea where to begin. And it can be really intimidating. And we have a great recommendation for you, which is to join Cassidy.com. Cassidy is a huge online platform that includes so many sexy swingers in your area, plus lots of local events to keep you up to date on all things lifestyle. And if you join Cassidy, you can find our community, Front Porch Swingers, and keep up with everything we are doing as well. So make sure you check out Cassidy.com today.